There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's time for your coolest conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. My guest today is Jenny V, a singer-songwriter from Canada with several solo releases under her belt, who's played with Courtney Love and is a touring member in the Eagles of Death Metal. Her new single is Out for Blood, out on Last Hurrah Records. It's a recent coolest song in the world, and let's hear some of it now, followed by my chat with Jenny V on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage. And my guest for today's coolest conversations is Jenny V, Canadian singer, songwriter, guitarist, and bass player, who's played with the likes of Courtney Love, and in non-COVID times is a touring member of the Eagles of Death Metal. How are you, Jenny?
I'm wonderful, Manfred. How are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. We spoke, once before, and I guess it was about a year ago from this past Christmas. A lot has happened since then. How have things been going for you in these COVID times?
Aside from no touring on the schedule, my life has remained kind of the same. Mm-hmm. But you know that eliminating touring from the agenda is a pretty big deal for me. I always feel like I'm a working dog, and my dog is to get out there and rock. So you know, without that, I get a little bit I get a little bit restless.
Well, have your family and friends remained healthy?
Yeah, everyone's fine. We're all fine. Happy, healthy, a little frustrated. Maybe, you know, the monotony of things is setting in, and the uncertainty mixed in with the monotony creates kind of an interesting emotional state. But as far as, physical health, everyone's fine.
That emotional state, do you think that can that be like a positive creative force, or is it a negative thing?
I think any emotional state can be a creative force, and the creative force kind of transcends whether it's positive or negative. You can take a positive situation in your life and write the most heartbreaking lyrics ever, and you can be in a really depressed state and write a really happy, upbeat pop song. So that's something that I've experienced in my life, that regardless of your external circumstance, whatever's going to come through you in a creative songwriting capacity, it's kind of beyond your control.
So where are you right now? Normally you live in Los Angeles, is that right? Are you in LA?
Yeah, I'm in LA normally, and I love LA. I'm really happy that that's my home. But right now I'm talking to you from the jungle, baby. I'm in Playa del Carmen, Mexico, so you may hear some little birdie sounds and nature around me.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. Well, you know, I've got my little dog Charlie with me here at home, and he's in the backyard now because he's a little guy in charge, and I can't keep him in the house when I'm speaking with people. So if you have the birds going, I'll have Charlie answering. So we're doing okay with that. It seems like when we spoke last, you mentioned that you were A recovering goth. Can you remind me what that means?
It means that I'm blonde and I don't wear all black anymore, but on the inside, I still feel the same as I did in a lot of ways, you know, as when I was a 15-year-old Cure fan. So I still have a lot of those same emotions and mindsets and influences, but I might not outwardly appear like one.
Well, the thing about the Cure to me always was that, you know, they had these goth fans, but the music itself was always so poppy, you know?
Not always. I mean, they had some really heavy, dark albums too. Yeah. They, you know, ran the gamut and explored the spectrum of emotions, and yeah, they're pretty diverse. But I know what you mean. I definitely know what you mean. They have upbeat songs like Love Cats and Friday I'm in Love. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, one thing we didn't talk about last time that I, you know, I was thinking, gosh, we never touched on that. So I mentioned that you had played with Courtney Love. How did that ever take place? How did you guys hook up?
Oh, she's amazing. I was living in New York at the time, and I was DJing at a place in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. And my boss, the owner of the venue, really nice guy named Nur Khan, he heard me drop a whole track and asked me if I knew Courtney. And I said, no, I didn't. And he said, outright, you guys need to be friends. She's coming to town next week to do a musical, which was Kansas City Choir Boy, an amazing musical she starred in. Mm-hmm. And I said, heck yeah. And turned out she was staying on my street. Her hotel was a block away from my apartment. So he really kind of did a matchmaking for us. And we met up one day for breakfast and we became friends. And a couple weeks, she was in town for a few months. And a couple weeks after we met, Lana Del Rey had approached her and asked if she wanted to be the special guest on the upcoming summer tour. Lana Del Rey's upcoming summer tour. So Courtney asked me what I thought about Lana and if I liked her music and what kind of pairing that, you know, I thought that would be. I said, I think it would be cool. You know, she's very of the moment, and two amazing women who kind of play with the feminine archetype in two very different ways. I thought it was a cool match. And so she asked me, should we do it? And I said, should we do it? Oh, heck yeah, we should do it. And that was really it. It was very natural. You know, she knew I was a bass player and she had checked out my material and we had a mutual respect, and it just felt really organic how it all happened.
Very cool. Now, your new single, Out for Blood, that is our coolest song in the world this week. It came out last month on Last Hurrah Records. I know your husband, our very own Slim Jim Phantom, he's on the drums.
Coolest man of the week, coolest man of forever in the world.
And so he's the slaps trapper, of course. And my notes say that Chris Chaney, a guy from the Australian punk rockabilly band, is on it too. And my notes also say that he wrote the song with you. So give me an idea how all this came together.
It came together, whatever life is right now, a little over a year ago. I wanted to do some co-writing. Mm-hmm. Because in the past I had really felt like a control freak over my material and my songwriting. And, you know, that was years ago, and I'm in a new place surrounded by so many amazing, talented, kind friends. And I love Chris. He's just a really cool guy and I really love his songwriting. And, he was kind of tops on the list of who can I sit down and write a song with. So I told him some of my inspiration points, and I was thinking, I love the Muffs and I love Kim Shattuck as a songwriter. And of course, mm-hmm. we lost her not too long ago. So I wanted to write something in the vein of the Muffs, and that was kind of the reference point. And we started from there. We got together one afternoon and it happened very fast. I think it was like an hour and that song was done, written, arranged, done, the whole thing.
Now, how do you know Chris?
I know Chris through Jim. Chris is a huge Stray Cats fan, and his first concert was the Stray Cats when he was 11. His older sister was babysitting him and didn't tell their parents that she actually had concert tickets, so she took him to see the Stray Cats. And Jim and Chris have been friends for 20 years, so that's how I met Chris.
Oh, very cool. We play him here in the Underground Garage, and I was thinking maybe the Living End had started off with, maybe they call themselves the Runaway Boys or something like that.
That's right. They did.
They did. Okay. All right. Yeah. So, all right. Well, I remembered something right today. So very cool. This is actually, what's cool to me is you'd actually did a proper record, a 7-inch 45 RPM record. So why actually do a vinyl record as opposed to just a digital release?
oh, vinyl's the coolest. It's kind of taking me back to my very first release was on a label called Sympathy for the Record Industry. And I did a 10-inch with that label. And they're amazing. They put out Hole's first material, the White Stripes' first material. So I've always been a vinyl fan. And I have a huge record collection. I never stopped buying it. So it was a natural thing for me to want to do a 7-inch. And the Last Hurrah records are kind of, you know, it's kind of keeping it in the family seems to be the vibe and the way we work here, because they've put out Eagles of Death Metal, Boots Electric presents Eagles of Death Metal presents a covers album a couple of years ago that came out on their label. And Davey Joe Ketching, who was our guitar player for a long time in Eagles of Death Metal, they've done several of his projects. They put out David J from Love and Rockets and Bauhaus. So just a really cool label, husband and wife team, and friends of ours. So it just made sense to do it with them.
Yeah, very cool. I was going to ask you about Last Hurrah, but you mentioned Sympathy for the Recording Industry, and the guy that the force behind that, Long Gone John, is certainly a character in his own right.
He's amazing. Yeah, gosh, he's been a friend of mine since I was a teenager, and I approached him with my demo tape and wanted him to put it out, and he said, heck yeah, let's do it. So we've been friends for more than 20 years now. He's great.
Yeah. Well, do you and Slim have a jukebox?
We don't have a jukebox. No, we have a turntable.
All right. Well, I want you guys to get onto a jukebox. That's what you need if you're putting out 45s and want to talk about his single two in a couple of minutes. But that's like the great equalizer, you know. It's like having a giant 45 thing. You know, remember the old console turntables, like a stereo console, and they'd have this weird plastic thing where you could, it's not just a 45 adapter, but you could stack the records on top. And then with a jukebox, you know, just punch in the numbers. So the reason I bring that up is the single is actually a small hole. I was going to ask you if you'd ever dinked a record, which is, you know, knock out the small hole and make it a big hole.
I have a bunch of records like that, but personally with any of my material, I haven't had a release like that. And I'm really surprised we don't have a jukebox, come to think of it. I'm going to talk to Jim about this.
Yeah, you got to get on the man about that.
Oh, well.
Another cool thing about the record and, well, doing records is cool, but also would you describe it as how would you describe the actual vinyl as clear or
it's milky white translucent vinyl.
Milky white translucent vinyl, very cool. So for the actual song, you mentioned wanting to do something like sort of in a Kim Shattuck vein. And getting together and coming up with it pretty quickly with Chris Chaney for the inspiration for the idea of the Out for Blood, was that a thought that you had? Was it drawn from, you know, like a friend of yours' reaction to being spurned, or how did you come up with the idea?
I came up with the title. A lot of times I'll write like I am working on an album, and that was going to be for an album, which it's, you know, it's still coming together, and I decided to put it out as a single well ahead of an album. But I sometimes will write out titles that I think sound cool. I'll put numbers on a sheet of paper, 1 through 10, and then I'll fill in titles. And that was one of the titles I had come up with. So obviously Out for Blood, it's a kind of a revenge song, or, you know, you can't mess with me now song kind of thing. And Jim asked me, you know, babe, why can't, you know, you just write happy love songs? I don't know why I can't. Maybe one day I will. But still, you know, I go back in time and I find inspiration in things that I've gone through and maybe that don't affect me now, but affected me then. And I can, you know, tap into that time and place. And so, with Out for Blood, that's kind of what I was doing and laying to rest kind of, you know, some emotions in my life.
Give me some other titles. Can you share any other titles with us? What are some perspective titles?
Oh, gosh, wait. Hold on. Oh, I have to think now. No, I don't. I can't remember them.
Well, that's
and
all
I have five other songs recorded, too, already.
How many?
Five.
Five other songs. And so we're going to listen to the B-side as we're going, go out in a couple of minutes here. You got five other songs recorded, you know, the album's coming along. Is there a horizon for it? Is there a time you want to get it out by?
No, I'm not putting that kind of pressure on myself right now. Maybe I should, and it would happen quicker. We're really just taking it, you know, one step at a time. It's like a puzzle, and the pieces are getting put together. And we're going to all of our friends' different studios, and you know, who's open at the time, and who's feeling comfortable with having people over. And some things we're recording at home, so it's very loose, you know, loosey goosey right now how we're approaching it, and I like it that way. So I don't really have a timeline.
Well, so this record, Out for Blood, and Chris's involvement, was he in Los Angeles?
Yeah, he was in Los Angeles at the time. He has since returned to Australia, you know, about a year ago, and everything kind of got very uncertain. He and his family went back to Australia, but he was living in LA at the time. So we just went over to his house and worked on it there.
So I mentioned Slim has recently has a new single out as well. It came out, let's see, in November, is that right? Lockdown and Love?
That's right. Yeah, it did, on the same label, Last Hurrah Records.
Last Hurrah. And you're on that as well, correct?
Yes, correct. We wrote that song together. He had an idea of what he wanted to do, kind of like an old, like, country style duet. He had it in his mind that that's what he wanted to do, and he came up with the title. So I helped him, you know, with some lyrics, and we had a lot of fun with that one. It's really fun, that song.
Well, that's cool that you guys have singles, you know, coming out back to back after each other. I think that was it's really cool.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we think it's pretty cool too.
Well, last month, you and Slim, you streamed this Rockabilly Christmas Party. How many shows have y'all streamed over the past year? And like, when's the next one?
That's the first time we performed on any kind of a live stream. Jim's done some things like Q&As and some live signings for for his old book. He had stumbled upon like 100 extra copies in his storage space. So he did a live book signing, which was really cool. And I help him with all that. But we were really reluctant to do a live performance just because of sound quality and things like that. And, you know, it's not the same as an actual concert, but it's more about the energy and the intent behind it for people to kind of, I think, feel involved. The people who tuned in really appreciated it, and it wasn't about how it sounded, you know, at that point. So we really just did it to give them something that they would enjoy, the fans.
So coming up over the next few months, is there, you want to try and do that again, or you feel like now we're going to avoid that?
Yeah, possibly. We don't have plans to at the moment, but you never know. You know, we just go with what we feel. If we feel like we want to do it, we'll do it. But we're not going to do it if we don't feel like it.
Well, before speaking, when I was thinking of questions to be asking you today, you know, I go looked at your Facebook page and came across you wearing your Lounge Leopard number 2 outfit, Lounge Leopard 2 outfit. And I thought, wow, that's looking pretty cool. Tell us about these outfits and where do you get them?
I'm making them myself. I forget that sometimes people might not understand that, but I am literally a one woman operation, and I sew everything from start to finish myself. So over the holidays, I got a little backed up, but everyone was very patient and understanding. And yes, if you would like to check out what I have to offer in my shop, you can go to thejennieve.com, JennieVee.com, and the shop section. And I love the Lounge Leopard because it's really something, I designed it for myself, something I could wear on the bus and be comfy, but I could also get off the bus and throw on, you know, a leather jacket and boots and still look cool. So it's one of those, it's like a trifecta outfit. I could even wear it on stage. Bus, stage, life. That's the trifecta for me.
And describe it though. I mean, it's got leopard in the title, but give us an idea of...
It's a two-piece set, so it's quite simply a really nice t-shirt, kind of slouchy, really soft cotton knit. Like softer than a t-shirt. And then the bottom half of it is a pair of pants with an elastic waist, because I think we've all kind of gotten used to wearing our elastic waist trousers during this time. It has pockets and a really like loose but still body skimming fit. So when you wear the two pieces together, it looks like a jumpsuit, and you can also wear them separate. You can wear them with other things. So it's really cool, versatile little set.
And so if people go there, not only do you have Lounge Leopard 1 and 2 sort of outfits, we've got some other stuff for sale there as well.
Yeah, I've got jackets with hand-sewn appliques and fringe and some really cute feminine dresses. And it is geared for girls, but with the Lounge Leopard set, I've done the leopard t-shirts for guys too. A lot of guys order them.
Oh, way cool. Well, I'm going to have to go back and see if you have my size, you know.
Oh, yeah. Custom made, baby. We do it to you, bespoke.
You know, we're coming up on B-side time. And the flip to Out for Blood is your version of the cult song Wildflower. So does that relate back to being a recovering goth somehow?
I'm a huge cult fan, and I had the pleasure of playing, you know, sharing the stage with them a few times at festivals. And Jim and Billy Duffy are old friends from the beginning of the 80s when Jim was over there living in England. And I love the cult. And this was a song that we cut in the Eagles of Death Metal covers sessions. And we did like 20 songs. So, you know, not all of them made the album that was released. And Jesse gave me his blessing just to run with this one and do the lead vocal. And he's on the backing vocals. So that's how that one came to be.
Oh, way cool. Well, Jenny, thank you so much for yakking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Thank you, Manfred. It was great to talk to you again.
Well, we're going to B-side it up with Jenny V. Here's Wildflowers in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Hey, you're a wild, honey child. I'm out of control. Every time you are near me, I'm a wolf child, baby.
That was Wildflower from Jenny V here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. It's the B-side to her new single, Out for Blood, available from Last Hurrah Records. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Jenny for speaking with me on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our podcast. And join me next week when I'll speak with Muck, a.k.a. Evan Shore, of Muck and the Myers, the long-running Boston-based rock and roll band. They've got a new album out now on Dirty Water Records called Greetings from Muckingham Palace. We'll talk all about it on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.